From the Word of God, Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. Now it happened on a certain day that Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. I read a story about a simple farmer who was a poster child for a person who accepts everything that happens as a manifestation of divine power. He said, "It is not for me to question the working of divine providence," and all of his life, misfortune had been his. Yet the story went on, never once did he complain. He got married, they had two children, and his wife ran away with the hired man. A villain dishonored his daughter. His son was murdered by thugs. A fire burned down his barn. A cyclone blew away his house. A hailstorm destroyed his crops, and the banker foreclosed on the mortgage, taking his farm. Yet at the stroke of each misfortune, he knelt and gave thanks to God Almighty for His unchangeable mercy. After a time, penniless, but still submissive to God, he found himself in the county poorhouse. And one day the overseer sent him out to plow a potato field. A sudden thunderstorm passed over without warning. A bolt of lightning descended from the sky. It hit him. It melted the plowshare. It stripped most of his clothing off of him, singed his beard, branded his naked back with the initials of the farmer next door, and threw him through a barbed wire fence. When he recovered consciousness, he slowly got up on his knees, clasped his hands, raised his hands toward heaven, and said, "Lord, this is getting plumb ridiculous. Have you been there? Haven't we all at one time or another felt that we'd had more than enough of our share?" The picture in the bulletin this morning is from one of my all-time favorite comic strips, Peanuts. And Linus is on the beach. He's building a beautiful sandcastle. Probably works on it for hours. You see the detail and the beauty of the castle. And finally, it's finished, and he looks at it, admiring it, and just at that moment, a storm begins. A little at first, and then stronger. And finally, it washes his sandcastle away, and now he's sitting where his beautiful masterpiece had been just a few moments before, and he says to himself, "I know there's a lesson in this, but I'm not sure what it is." I don't know what storms in life that you've had to face. Literal storms or figurative storms, mental or spiritual storms. Storms related to your work, your livelihood, your colleagues, your relationships. Storms at home. Storms related to your body, your health, your strength, and your mind. I do know that all of us have had an experience in our lives in which we have felt that we're so tiny. We're like a little ship on the ocean, tossed by storms, tossed around in the middle of a storm that won't go away, with our lives in danger, with chaos threatening our next move, threatening to rip our life away from us, thrown in every direction. Today, if you've ever been in a storm, or if you are in a storm, I want you to think through the storm that we just read about with Jesus and His disciples. And notice four things. First of all, the crisis. Sea is calm. No noticeable winds. And then all at once a wind comes up, and those who have been at Galilee say that the storm can come up almost in the literal blink of an eye. There came down a storm of wind, Luke says, and they were filling with water. The ship was full of water. Matthew says the waves were covering the ship. It's a serious storm. The winds are blowing. The ship's filling with water. The waves are as high as the boat. And they're heading for the bottom of the sea unless that storm somehow stops. Have you ever felt like that? The storms of life blowing so hard that you feel like you're about to sink. You can't handle the wind and the rain anymore. The disciples were in just that situation. They didn't think they were going to make it. And we live in a world where storms can rise up just that quickly, when storms can rise up and life seems to be at peril from what's going on around us. Life-threatening diseases are violent storms. We've lived through a pandemic. But across our nation, more than 300 people are still dying every day from COVID-19. Then there are things like losing a parent, losing a child, losing a job, losing a church, losing a belief system. All of these are storms. Maybe you're facing one, and you're not sure if you'll ever get out of it. The physician brings a bad report. There's that late night phone call that startles you, and you know the person on the other end is going to say, "I have bad news for you." And the waves begin to beat and the boat seems as it's going to be sinking, and you cry out, "Lord, do you not care that we are perishing?" The whole point of this story that Luke tells is storms happen. Sometimes they're brought on by our sin. Sometimes they're brought on by our bad decisions. Sometimes by the actions of others. At times they just seem to happen and we have no idea why. In the first chapter of his letter, James tells us, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. Now that flies in the face of normal thinking, doesn't it? Whenever trouble comes your way, let it be an opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything. And often I've looked at that and I've said, James, is there no other way to get this exercise to increase my endurance? Second is the cry of the disciples. They awoke him saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Now these are professional seamen. They've spent their lives on the sea. But this storm is different and they're terrified. And they go to the only person who can handle it. They go to Jesus. They cry out to him and they say, "We're all going to die if you don't help us out." You ever felt like Jesus was asleep when you were in a storm? Maybe you felt like Job in chapter 23 of that book. "Behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he does work, but I cannot behold him." He hides himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. There are times, there will be times, when we may not feel that God is near, but in those times, we need to trust him. If we only trust him when times are good, we really wouldn't be trusting him. He wants us to rely on him day by day. But the next verse in Job says, he knows the way that I take when he has tried me. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know that I worked in the jewelry business for a number of years. And every once in a while, we'd gather up all the scrap gold, little pieces that had been cut out of ring sizing and filings from various work that the jeweler had done, and we'd put it into a special vessel and heat it up till the gold would melt, drop in a flux that would cause the impurities to rise to the top, scrape them off, and all that was left was pure gold. Job says, when he has tried me like that, I shall come forth as gold. What a way to look at the storms in our lives. Job was saying, whatever comes, I'm going to trust God. Some folks have been taught that with Jesus in their lives, it's always going to be smooth sailing. With Jesus in the boat, there's going to be no storms, no unimaginable waves, no fear. That simply is not something Jesus ever taught, and it is in fact not true. And if you've been taught that and storms happen, then you're going to think there's something wrong with me. You're going to wonder what God is trying to do when you have been trying to follow him. You can find a storm right in the middle of God's will. The disciples are in the storm because of obedience, not because of disobedience. If they had remembered, Jesus said, let us get in the boat and cross to the other side. He didn't say, let us get in the boat and go out into the middle and have the boat sink and we all drown. The storm was evidently the divinely appointed vehicle to teach them how to deal with God's power in their lives. Without trials, we would never grow in the Lord. Faith must be tested if it is to be trusted. Then thirdly, there's the commandment of Jesus. They woke him up and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. Whatever your storms, and I'm not minimizing them, sit still and listen to God's voice. Jesus spoke and commanded the winds to cease. I believe that Jesus speaks to our problems if we'll sit still long enough and listen. Too often, I know in my own life, I make too much noise that I can't hear his voice. And I need somebody to say, shh, listen. And then I'll say, but I don't hear anything. And that voice comes back, keep listening. And finally, there's the calm. The wind ceased, and there was calm. And this is strange. Now, maybe you've been out on the lake, maybe you've been out on the sea, and you've seen the winds and the waves have been rolling, and the wind will stop, but the waves have been stirred up and they still roll. Luke says he spoke and the wind stopped and the sea was calm. The surface of the lake was smooth as a mirror. Jesus calmed the storm. He saved their lives. But the clear indication of Scripture is the disciples had been trying to handle this storm by themselves before they woke Jesus. They were professionals. They knew the water. They knew the boat. They thought they could handle it. but the water's slapping on the sides of the boat, and then it starts to come over the sides of the boat, and the boat begins to fill up, and when they realize they can't handle it, only then do they call on Jesus. I've done that. Maybe you've done that. I can handle this. I can get through this. I can work this out. And I have to stop and say, Lord, help. How do you see the storm? Are you like these experienced men looking to yourself or to others? Do you trust yourself and others more than you trust Christ? Is He the last hope, the last resort? Is that why we go to Him? I say there have been times in my life like that. But in the Message, the translation called The Message by Eugene Peterson, he paraphrases verse 25 like this. They were in absolute awe, staggered and stammering. Who is this anyway? He calls out to the winds and the sea, and they do what He tells them to do. We might say today, they just couldn't get over it. If anyone knew, they should have known. And then they realized, Jesus is even greater than we had imagined. He exercises control not only over sickness and demons and death, but even the elements of nature, the winds and the water. So many times in those storms, when we cry out, Jesus, He proves Himself in our lives, in our sorrows, in our storms, in our joys, and whatever the peril, He is aware and able to deliver. Sometimes it's through the trial rather than from the trial. But whatever it is, it's Jesus that we must trust. And as we do, like the disciples, He'll calm the troubled storms of our lives. That doesn't mean you won't ever have to face another storm, but it does mean that you will have someone on board who can take care of the winds and calm the waves and calm your anxious heart. Amen.